News Watchdog and America's Voice. You're on the American Journal.
Welcome back. We got a lot of stories to discuss today that don't have to do with the DNC. It's like, not only is this a major sort of paramount political event, at least it's supposed to be. I mean, it's in reality a gay dance party pretending to be a political event, but we're going to pretend. For all intents and purposes, this is a major political event, and every aspect of it sort of teaches a lesson. Shows you who we're dealing with here, what their intentions are, and we can all just marvel at their ability to gaslight their brainwashed underlings. And in fact, who would have thought Chris Cuomo made this point in a very powerful way on the floor of the DNC. His redemption arc continues. Here's Chris Cuomo, former disgraced CNN talking head propagandist dumbass on the DNC, making some damn good points. Let's watch.
A big theme here at the DNC is that they're going to go after corporate gouging. And they're going to go after corporations, whether it's in taxes, largesse, loopholes. The RNC, we heard the same thing. They're going after the elites, the two sets of rules. Let me reveal a reality to you that has to be spoken to here, okay? These are the soldiers. These are the men and the women that go back to their constituencies and their communities, and they fight. They take time from their jobs. They take time from their families. Republicans and Democrats alike, that's what they do. They need to charge these people up. They need to be able to get them on board. But there's another reality that is literally looking down on them. Greg, look at the ring of sweets, okay? This is not unique to Democrats. There is a game of money. When people talk about uniparty, we are strangled by the money reality in our politics. Those suites start at 500 grand. You think there's like a teacher group up in there? You think it's like the Cub Scouts of Columbia County, South Carolina, that's up in those boxes? Some of them are lobbies and good things. The media boxes, you think they're free? Why do you think I'm on the floor? News Nation is not a broke company. Nextstar is a massive organization. We are corporate media. We don't have one of those boxes because that's the game. You pay to play. Those boxes are filled with the same people that they say they're going to regulate. They are literally looking down on the faithful and being told, yeah, we're going to break down on them. We're going to make them pay their share. They paid 500, 700, a million and a half to have those seats. They get hotel suites that are probably gifted to the party. And the same thing is true with the Republican side. And they're going to take them down. They're going to change how it is. They are looking down from on high at the people who make the difference in their communities. And that is the reality of politics. And I had my producer walk around and show you those suites. Now, they're not all the same. They're not all the same. But the reality is, in 2000, they spent $300 million on presidential campaigns. 24 years later, you know what they're expected to spend? $10 billion. Do you know how much money Harris has raised in the last couple of weeks? Hundreds of millions. And that's success. A lot of it's small donor. A lot of it isn't. The most dangerous money in politics is now legal money because of Citizens United. You've got to know this. The idea that they can fight against it is almost laughable. It's almost laughable. So look and listen when you are told these things, because I don't care what they promise you. Not here tonight, not at the RNC, not that Trump knows them, not that they don't own them. He did one of the biggest fundraisers I've ever heard of in my life out where I live. Millions of dollars a plate. That's the reality of politics.
Dang. Yeah, Chris Cuomo telling the truth there, you know. What are you going to say? Redemption is possible. He has seen the light. Not that I trust him as far as I could throw him, but he's right about what he just said. And it is a very powerful visual image of the skyboxes looming over the crowd of their underlings, unwittingly working towards their own destruction. And that's what I mean. This ain't just about the DNC. It's about what it represents. It's about what's revealed when you investigate the claims, the lies, bizarre psychological triggers of these psychos that run our country. Everything makes sense. Why everything's going to crap? These people are in charge. The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
More of conversation into the caller's hands. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, folks, welcome back. Joined by Alex Stringer in the next segment, 30 After. Maybe get a little preview of what he's got cooking up for us at the DNC. We're joined by Maria Z in the third hour of this program, but we got some, and we'll probably return to the DNC with her as well, because I still have videos that I want to play. So we're talking about the demographics that the Democrats are going for right now. They're really looking to lock in the boomer cuck demographic. That is really, I don't know, I guess they're worried about that. They're trying to shore up the boomer cuck votes. Like, every man who's gone out on stage of the DNC is just like a fat, bald, white guy talking about how joyful it is to have an overbearing wife. It's very sad. It's very sad and pathetic. Well, after, before, during, whatever. We have a lot of other news here to get to, so we'll maybe take a little jaunt around the world, see what's happening in geopolitics. But let's zoom out a little bit. Let's zoom out. Let's take a bird's eye view. Let's look at this thing on a metaphysical level. We're going to go to clip 5 here. This is Neil Oliver talking about the Milgram experiments. And it's one of these things like MK Ultra or 9/11 being an inside job. It's one of these things that it's just worth revisiting every couple of months or so, just to remind ourselves of some of these foundational truths about humanity, what drives us, how the people in power have carried out experiments over the last half century to determine how best to manipulate and control humanity. And the Milgram experiment is a preeminent example of where they learned lessons that they now apply rigorously and with devious intention. Let's go now to clip number 5, Neil Oliver.
Ralph, you're reminding me of all sorts. You know, I'm minded of, you know, the Milgram experiments, you know, where people were duped into thinking that they were giving up to and including lethal electric shocks to people that they couldn't see but they could hear, but they were being reassured all the time by men and women in white coats purporting to be doctors that it was okay because they were doing what they were told by people in authority. And so they were prepared to set aside their own morality and ethics and deliver what would have been lethal electric shocks. And then there's that experiment where people were unknowingly the only people in an experiment that weren't in on the trick. And two different lines were put on a blackboard, and people were invited to say, are they different lengths or are they the same? And everyone who was in on the trick said, no, they are exactly the same length. And the dupe, the mark, the only person who didn't know, could plainly see that there were two different lengths, but decided to go with the majority decision, you know, assuming that there must be something wrong with himself. And yet, with all that background knowledge that we have about our susceptibility we've found ourselves here again.
Well, these experiments weren't carried out to, you know, learn how to not succumb to these, psychological manipulations. They were carried out in order to weaponize this psychological reality. And there's a couple things about the Milgram experiment. Obviously, the overriding sort of conclusion is that you've got these guys in white coats who aren't even doctors, by the way, right? It's just a symbol of authority. But I think there's more to it than that. I don't think it would have been the same if the people could have seen the people they were electrocuting, right? The fact that there's that barriers, that separation between you and the person that you think you're hurting, person that you're hurting. Like, that's enough psychologically for humans to do horrible things. And that's what you see with the liberals and the leftists. Because they are so hateful and aggressive, and because the media is so controlled, like, they don't see conservatives in the media unless they're being portrayed the most horrific way possible in the most dishonest and negative way that, you know, can be expressed. And in their personal life, like, even if they have conservative friends, the conservative friends probably keep it secret because they know how vicious and evil these people are. And so they, when you have people, like we saw Alex Stringer's video yesterday with the guy talking about, I want to just deport all Trump supporters, or when you see the posts of MAGA kids go headfirst into the wood chipper. What I mean is that it's the Milgram experiment. It's about listening to authority, but it also has elements of, like, depersonalization, dehumanization, where humans can be made to do horrible things or accept horrible things if they can be given just the bare minimum psychological separation between themselves and their fellow humans. You can then treat that person like a non-entity, like an animal, like somebody not worthy of respect or care. So there's that aspect. It's also not so much about people being willing to do whatever authority says because they're the authority. It's about personally, your own personal psychology overcoming the guilt or the responsibility of your actions. And while obviously this is, you know, in context of COVID and you know, the medical experts telling you what to do, and you link that to climate change and the experts, you know, telling you, yeah, we just have to get rid of all the farms. Everybody's going to starve. Who cares? I'm the expert, right? But what about, like, FBI agents? What about CIA agents? What about people who themselves have inordinate authority over everybody else in the society? How do those agents deal with that psychologically? Well, they deal with it by following orders. By going, I shouldn't have this much power, but it's okay because I'm not the one exerting this power. I'm just doing it in service of following orders that were given to me from on high. So if what I'm doing is wrong, it's not my fault. It's the guy who told me to do this. I'm just a vessel. I am just a figure. I'm just a machine being controlled by somebody else. So I'm not the one to blame for my inordinate power and the abuse thereof. I'm just following orders. And it's terrifying knowing that people will literally electrocute their fellow human beings to death on those orders if, for their own sanity, they can just offload the guilt of that onto the person in the white coat. Not because they have some sort of knowledge or authority that the person doing the electrocution respects, but because they can just, you know, again, psychologically offload the impact or responsibility of their own actions. And that's extremely worrying, especially when you have a leadership class that themselves refuse to ever acknowledge or take responsibility for the result of their actions. So you've got people at the top giving the orders and never suffering the consequences when the outcome is horrible. And then the people on the ground are carrying out the orders, but it's not their fault because they're not the one making the decision. At the end of the day, nobody feels like they're responsible. Nobody, you know, personally feels like they have a moral obligation to do something different. And there, at the end of the day, is kind of nobody to punish because, well, you punish him for just doing his job. Or are you punishing this guy for just giving the orders? It's sort of, you know, where's the fault lie? It's worth it to revisit that and remind ourselves of why these experiments were carried out. Because like Neil Oliver at the end there is like, it's strange that we've known this for so long and still can't, you know, prevent ourselves from falling into this trap. It's like, no, these things were studied so that the people in charge could best apply this pressure psychologically to control you. We'll go to another video here. Actually, let's we'll do this because we'll talk about the UK for a little bit. Obviously, we've been touching on it continuously, but for the last few days, we haven't actually dug into what's going on in the UK. But I want to go to clip number 11 here. Toby Young makes a very interesting observation about the way the UK is just engaged in an inquisition right now. Let's go to clip number 11. Here's Toby Young on PM Keir Starmer.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. The Pakistani authorities are accusing this guy and his news agency of being the first news source to identify the attacker as an asylum seeker, which we now know was false. But it does suggest that Keir Starmer's analysis, his initial claim that these riots were organized by far-right agitators, many of them from outside the areas where the disorder took place, was itself fake news. So one of the ironic implications of this, Patrick, is that the Prime Minister himself may be guilty under the offence created by the Online Safety Act of knowingly publishing false information, which has a harmful effect. I mean, you could argue that by blaming far-right agitators from outside the areas where the riots were taking place, Keir Starmer effectively encouraged counter-protesters, Muslim counter-protesters for the most part, to form mobs, to police areas, to identify and attack people they thought were far-right agitators from outside their area. So you could argue that Keir Starmer's misinformation regarding who was behind the riots contributed to a harmful outcome, and he could therefore be guilty of an offence under the Online Harms Act.
But of course he won't be, because that's not how these things function. Yeah, that, you know, if our laws worked like algorithms, it would be very different, wouldn't it? Affirmative action is the one that we always point to, where it's like, yeah, if it was just, you know, minorities get benefits until they're, you know, equal. And, you know, at this point, white people in Texas are a minority, so if it all just shifted over to white people and now they're the minority and now they get all the benefits, it at least would be somewhat fair. And that's not how it works. Even when white people are the minority, like me in Texas, the majority population is still given the benefits of affirmative action and, you know, underserved community designation, even when they're the majority. So it's not about, like, here's the free speech law, and if, or here's the speech law, and if you spread misinformation, you go to jail. And it's just, it's like a calculator. There's no human interaction. It's just, this is how it's applied. Then yeah, Keir Starmer would be in prison right now. In case you didn't understand what was talked about, although I think it was pretty clear, a man has been arrested in Pakistan for cyber terrorism over UK riots. An arrest this week of a Pakistani national suggests the Prime Minister Keir Starmer's campaign against disinformation in the wake of riots prompted by the murder of three young girls in Southport has no borders. So this is what they're talking about when they say we're going to extradite people for, you know, speech violations in UK. Farhan Asif was arrested at his home in Lahore, Pakistan on Tuesday on suspicion of cyber terrorism in relation to disinformation alleged to have helped fuel the UK riots. And so this guy apparently was the first news organization. He ran a news site called Channel 3 Now, which gave a false name for the Southport attacker and incorrectly suggested he was a Muslim illegal migrant who arrived in the UK after crossing the channel. And this was the name put forward that, like, some other woman shared on Facebook. She shared this report, right? So this guy in Pakistan puts out a report saying the stabber was a Muslim asylum seeker. Some woman in the UK sees this report, reposts it, and says, if this is true, it's going to be bad. She gets thrown into prison for years for that because she believed this guy's publication because it looked like a real news story. She didn't mean to spread misinformation. She thought it was legit. Doesn't matter. She goes to jail for spreading hateful disinformation, even though she qualified it with the phrase, if this is true, and she wasn't calling for violence. She was sounding a warning. She was saying, guys, things are about to get a little bit messy if this is true, if it turns out this guy was an asylum seeker. She was sent to jail. She was arrested. She is in jail right now for reposting this guy's thing. So if this is where this claim came from, then as this guy that we just watched pointed out, then Prime Minister Keir Starmer, when he gets up and isn't just saying, but is actually making laws on and, like, making arrests based on the claim that far-right agitators were deliberately spreading misinformation to create race hatred and inspire violence. That claim is, in fact, false. That claim is what inspired Muslim gangs to go out and actually commit violence. Keir Starmer is guilty of the speech laws that he's now acting on to arrest hundreds of unwitting UK citizens who, you know, posted a story they thought were true. But obviously that's never going to happen. If these laws were applied even remotely fairly and across the board, then all the Muslim rioters would be arrested. No, none of them have been arrested. They haven't even been reported on. These are the guys walking around with literal samurai swords, beating up white people who are just hanging out in bars. They've never been arrested. So the idea of, like, well, if you are going to arrest him, you have to arrest your prime minister too. I don't know. In response to that claim, what they'll do is just say the claim of the PM violating the law is disinformation. You're now violating the law. Like, that's how easy it is to manipulate these speech laws, which is why they're so dangerous and why they have to be resisted at all costs. Data Hazard on X has this horrifying statistic. Over 50,000 Brits in the past decade have been charged with illegal words or writing. 50,000 British people have been charged in the last 10 years. More than Russia. Maybe more than China. I mean, who knows? 50,000 in 10 years? It's wild. That is truly wild. So that's 5,000 a year, right? Wow. Wait, 50,000 over 10 years, that's 5,000 a year. What's 5,000 divided by 365? How many people a day are arrested in the UK on average for their words? 13 people a day on average get arrested in the UK for nonviolent word-based violations. And of course, you can see a massive spike in 2021 and 2022 in both these things. We haven't even gotten to 23. And of course, with the full-scale nationwide roundup taking place now, that average is going to increase significantly. 50,000 Brits in a decade, 5,000 a year, 13 Brits a day are arrested for words they say that displease their masters. Absolutely mind-blowing. Mind-blowing stuff. And I guess on that note, let's go to clip number 6 here. This is an older video from Nigel Farage. It's worth it to revisit every once in a while. In particular, to see the demonic, eye-rolling, goblin physiognomy of the people that he's talking to and about. When Nigel Farage is asking, who voted for you? Who the hell voted for you? Who determined you should be in charge of me or of us or of my nation? No one's even heard of you. And the guy he's talking to is just like, it's weird. It's weird. Let's go to clip number six.
You have the charisma of a damp rag and the appearance of a low-grade bank clerk. And the question that I want to ask, that we're all going to ask is, who are you? I'd never heard of you. Nobody in Europe had ever heard of you. I would like to ask you, President, who voted for you? And what mechanism? Oh, I know democracy's not popular with you lot. And what mechanism do the peoples of Europe have to remove you? Is this European democracy? Well, I sense, though, that you're competent and capable and dangerous. And I have no doubt that it's your intention to be the quiet assassin of European democracy and of the European nation states. You appear to have a loathing for the very concept of the existence of nation states. Perhaps that's because you come from Belgium, which, of course, is pretty much a non-country.
Brutal. Brutal. I mean, it's not even about making, like, philosophical, moral, political arguments about this. Just look at the guy, right? Got this weird little leprechaun gremlin-looking dude. Nigel Farage is pointing out, nobody voted for you. Nobody actually wants you. Your authority is entirely derived from being appointed by the elites, and yet you claim to represent democracy. And when this is pointed out to him, he's just like, you know, it's like the Hillary Clinton thing. Like, they don't care, right? He, in a way, he's kind of reveling in it. He's being called out by Nigel Farage going, you have no legitimacy. You have no right to tell anybody what to say. You claim to represent a democracy, but your entire power structure is a fraud. It's probably exciting the guy. The guy's probably getting excited. He's probably like, yeah, I'm so powerful. I'm so powerful right now. Like, they revel in this. They enjoy being unfairly or incorrectly given power. That guy doesn't feel any obligation to exert his power responsibly. He doesn't feel any guilt about, like, being appointed to something that he should have been elected to. There's no, you know, limiting factor that he's going to impose on himself. To go, I have a real obligation here. I've been given a lot of power, but I'm going to use it in service of the people I love in my country. No, there's power-hungry demons. And their faces are weird. Their faces are universally creepy. Remember, leftism, liberalism, globalism is not a philosophical or ideological creation. It is a physical aberration, malformation of the human mind. Just so we're clear. Just so we're perfectly clear. Meanwhile, oh my God, we have so many stories to get to. All right, we're about to go to break. We're going to come back with Alex Stringer. Still ahead, more DNC coverage. We got the outcome at MIT once affirmative action was eliminated. We've got baby foods being poisoned and fluoride being twice the level it should be. And so much more you need to know. Stay with us. Alex Stringer in the next segment. Maria Z in the third hour. More news on the way.
It's Friday, August 16th, 2024. The world is changing. The globalist system is now attacking humanity. As their programs come to an end. The grid. A digital frontier. I tried to picture clusters of information as they move through the computer. What do they look like? Ships, motorcycles, with circuits like freeways. I kept dreaming of the world I thought I'd never see. And then, one day, I got in.
friend of mine, really smart guy, is our guest. And I'm just going to put this right up front. If I owned a restaurant, I would want to have the best, most delicious, healthy food at the most affordable prices where I got the biggest crowds in. So you had a great experience. You want to come back 100 times and I make money and I'm successful. You have a great time. You get treated right. I get treated right. That's a community. So let's say it again. People really responded to this truth. I've been on there 30 years. I've had gold sponsors for 28 years as sponsors. Only two companies, because if you want a numismatic, they'd sell it to you, but they would try to sell you gold and silver bullion with, you know, 10% markup or whatever to pay their bills and do it. And that's very fair. You barely do it. I don't know how Kirk does it at 8% with his crew and his everything and the quality and the marketing, but he does it. So he's paying for marketing and running his crew and doing all this stuff for 8% and no charge to sell it back. Everybody else does that. It's such a good deal. It's very frustrating. I know we have millions of people watching every hour, and a lot of folks are calling. He's getting thousands of calls when he comes on. That's great. But it needs to be tens of thousands of calls. I mean, this is so simple. In a world of fiat, you at least want to have a hedge that's in silver and gold. And if you look at what's happening, I am only going to try to push something that I believe I would personally do. And that I personally do. I mean, it's real simple. Do unto others as you would do unto you. That's the golden rule. And Christ said, actually, you need to go further, lay your life down for others. But when everybody's like that, you live in a great society because nobody's really having any problems. Everybody's a badass. Everybody's willing to sacrifice. So it is a no-brainer to call them, do a consultation, and get into silver right now. And if you want some gold, you know, maybe get it 80% silver, get some gold. But I think he's dead on. I don't think, I know. You would be all silver. That's what's going to go up, obviously. That's what's undervalued. Then you get the gold once it skyrockets, which is already happening. So you need to go to kepm.com/gold. That's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals. kepm.com/gold. And then InfoWars is the support. Or you can call 720-605-3900. And listen, if enough of you went there, because he does his sponsorship off of what percentage he gets, we could get reporters back, expand, do anything. I mean, already we would not be on air right now if it wasn't for his sponsorship. He takes us over the top to be in the black. Not much, but a little bit. And so I appreciate the crew staying with us through all this hell. It's been wild. We're still here by the grace of God, but you need to support this sponsor. It supports what we're doing. Plus, it's the best deal, the best company, the highest ratings. It's so simple. Call him now, 720-605-3900.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. We are connecting with Alex Stringer right now. Let's again watch his brilliant performance during a BBC interview with the DNC yesterday, undercover as a brain-dead liberal cuck. Let's watch.
What brought you out here today? My name is Noah Shorts. I use he, they pronouns. Like, I'm just really excited that we have, like, the first black woman that could be the president of the United States. And, you know, like, my wife, right? We're in a polyamorous relationship. The lover that my wife took is African-American. And, like, I've learned so much about the struggle that people of color go through as a result of my wife's boyfriend. And so I'm excited to really do my part to show solidarity for my marginalized communities. And, like, the best way to do that is to get the first woman of color to be the commander-in-chief, and I'm really excited. I'm so pumped.
Were you this pumped and excited when Joe Biden was the nominee?
I mean, listen, like, I would vote for a corpse over voting for Donald Trump because he's a disgusting fascist white supremacist pig. But now, like, you know, we get to really make history. We have, you know, like I said, we have the first woman of color to be president of the United States. And, like, you know, our country, it was founded on the values of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And in Kamala Harris, there's nothing embodies those values more than a Kamala Harris presidency. So I'm pumped. Like, I'm ready. You know, I am so excited. I'm a proud white dude for Kamala Harris, baby. Let's go. Woo!
Have you seen any excitement at a Democratic event like in this stadium? Or?
No, listen, this is amazing. You know, like, you can't generate. I couldn't see.
Folks, that is the, again, brilliant performance by Alex Stringer. Just toeing the line of parody so that the BBC reporter he's talking to has no idea he's being played for a fool. Follow Alex Stringer on X at the Alex Stringer. We had him on just a second ago, but it looks like he just... All right, there you are. Alex, welcome to the show, sir. Congratulations. Well done. This video going totally viral. And you had another video go viral the day before. You're 2 for 2. What do you got set up for today at the DNC?
Well, that remains to be determined because we have to really see what happens. But there's literally, like, I literally have a treasure trove, like, of videos that I've still yet to release just because of how much gold the footage has been. It's just been totally crazy. Like, there's absolutely, so from being at the DNC, there's really absolutely, I don't see any legitimate way for Kamala Harris to actually be president. And I went to the Harris rally and I have like a bunch of videos from people at the Harris rally. And then just from like, from the protests, there's a trove of people that are openly condemning Kamala. And the, you know, the purpose of this trip is really to just deconstruct and dismantle the narrative that Kamala Harris is actually popular and that people actually like her. And I really want to use this trip to kind of dismantle that narrative. And yes, she is packing stadiums, but I have a video that I'm going to release kind of addressing why that's not something to be as concerned. Well, you should be concerned about it. She's packing stadiums, but it's not in line with the media narrative of her actually being popular.
Okay, so what do you mean? So what have you seen at the DNC that makes you think she's not as popular as they're saying?
Well, there's literal, there's thousands of protesters, none of whom are voting for Donald Trump, Harrison.
Right.
That are calling Kill a Kamala, you know, that are saying abandon Harris. Like, there are signs all over the place in, like, one of the most progressive, wokest cities in America. Like, I felt like I went back into a time machine to like 2020 when just from coming here, you know, like there's more pride flags, American flags in the city. Right. And there's no real like grassroots on the ground support from her, from like individual regular people. And, you know, you go to this rally and let's be clear about this, right? There were lines going down the block to see Harris and Walz, and there were no celebrities, there were no bigger performances. There was nothing like huge that was going to draw a crowd in. It was like a crowd of like of boomers, of white baby boomers who, if you saw them at face value, you'd think all they did was watch Fox News all day and were voting for Trump, if you believe what the media said. But it was pretty much all white people. There was no diversity. And you had lines that span multiple city blocks. but then I did a video. Well, I haven't released yet. But I made a video basically just asking the people at the rally if this is actually going to change their vote. Like if nominating Harris actually changes how they vote. And none of these people actually are going to vote any differently. Like, these are people that are just hardcore, like, blue and on Democrats. Like,
right.
You know, they call us conspiracy theorists, but they think Project 2025 is a real thing. Right. And that Donald Trump,
I've been seeing a lot of people online, and I tend to agree that you've got all these protesters outside, but like, they're all going to pull the lever for blue. You know, they're all going to vote Democrat when the time comes. They might be mad and, you know, shouting now, but at the end of the day, they still think Trump, Hitler, a black woman, good. Like, they're still going to vote for Kamala, right? Do you really think the people that are protesting right now are going to withhold their votes and let Donald Trump, a.k.a. Hitler, take power? Or is this all a show? Or do you think, you know, Democrats really have a lack of enthusiasm?
So I think that if I were to guess, I'd say maybe it's half. I'd say half of them bite the bullet and do it. But even if God forbid, like 80% of them bite the bullet, that's still a huge like portion of Democrat voters that are not going to vote Democrat, which does play a huge role in like swing states and in big elections. And this is actually a big deal because when one candidate is campaigning on price controls, you know, like when one candidate is campaigning on price controls, calling Bitcoin a tool for criminals, and trying to rest on her laurels of the past 4 years, which have been terrible for everyday people, right. and who's
administration, like, well, look, man, when a candidate's campaigned on price controls, 50% unrealized capital gains taxes, censoring the internet and medical mandates. You know, if you love living in America, you really just have no choice. And ultimately, the videos are being done just because, like, you know, dude, I love living in America and I want to continue doing that. Right. And if you don't dismantle this media narrative, there's a real possibility that you might not have a country to live in.
Well,
in 4 years.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that is such a good point. I'm wondering, you know, the dichotomy we're seeing is outside people angry, burning the American flag. On the inside, they're waving signs to say USA and there's all these signs to say freedom. As somebody who's there on the ground, just like, what are you experiencing? Is this a dichotomy that exists where, like, in the convention center, it's one way and outside it's different? Or within the convention center, like, what's the mood there at the DNC on the floor?
So they're not letting anybody into the convention unless you have, like, a pass. You know, like, you know, they'll let anybody walk across the southern border, but you have to have actually go inside the DNC. When you like, look, when you go into the protests, it almost feels like it's like kind of a part. Like, I hate saying this, but it just feels like you're almost just at like a street party.
Right.
And dude, like, no, there's no enthusiasm. Like, I'm asking people, like, yo, are you going to vote for Kamala? Are you going to vote for Kamala? Like, a lot of these people are saying no. Like, I did a video with Cornel West and I asked him about how he felt about Harris. And he just expressed, he just went on camera and said he had absolutely no confidence in Kamala Harris in any capacity. And it's just like, if progressive, like, black thought leaders are openly disavowing people like Harris, like, I don't see a path. Like, I just don't see a real path to victory. Right. If this is like an option. Will some of these people bite the bullet? Are some of these people, like, scared of Trump? Do these people believe in unhinged conspiracy theories like Donald Trump is just going to go after us? He's going to just weaponize the FBI and do everything that's been happening to him? There's actually a very large segment of the population who believes this. And, you know, my viewpoint is that you got to be as nice to them as humanly possible to dismantle that narrative. And also, here's the other, right? Like, this Harris campaign, they're like, oh, my God, we're running a campaign, you know, where it's strength through joy, Harrison, strength through joy. And I'm like, OK, I love that you're running a campaign based on joy and happiness, because I am going to be as happy as you are supporting Kamala Harris. I'm going to be even happier making fun of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're killing it, man. Culture jamming with the best of them. And we love a little friendly competition. I think you got the competition beat. Alex, you're up against Matt Walsh and Mike Lindell, but your videos are going viral, and I can't wait to see what you come up with today. Thanks for coming on.
I hate to use this analogy, but truth is the way to go, so I'll just use it. I remember growing up with all four of my grandparents, and first my dad's dad died, and then his mother died, and then my mother's father died, and my mother's mother died. And they were all amazing, and you think they're always going to be there, but one day they're dead. Well, it's the same thing with InfoWars. We've barely survived in the last few years, like right up to millimeters. And people then go, well, you're still on air. You must be invincible. We are shot up. The operation is bleeding to death. And that's okay. We've done our mission, and we're going to continue on even if this operation shut down. But that said, I don't want to prove to you by not going 100% and us shutting down that I wasn't BSing about this. We are very, very, very close to being shut down. And literally, the final products we have come in at InfoWarsStore.com could be the last time you get them. Now, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this, a lot of strategy. There's a good chance, 50-50, we can stay on air. But if we don't get funding, we will shut down. I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get amazing products. Now, these three have been bestsellers. And these are the last runs of them, unless we get a deal done in the next few months. So we have Vitamin Mineral Fusion. We have the vitamin C with zinc and the rose hips that's so incredible. And we have Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, all discounted. But this could easily be the final run. So I need your support, plus they're great products. Get it today at InfoWarsStore.com. And while you're there, get a book, get a film, get a t-shirt, whatever you do, share the article, share the videos, and pray for the broadcast. You've kept us on air this long, and I'm very thankful to all of you. But we are now at go moment here with this election, everything going on. We need your support now. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and support us in this critical time.
COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic, we need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin, their body temperature. Like we walked in here, we had to go through a body temperature test. But exactly the same technology can determine what you think about the government. You know, anger is a biological phenomena, just like disease. With this kind of surveillance, I mean, you watch a big president, a big leader, gives a speech on television. The television could be monitoring you and knowing whether you're angry or not, just by analyzing the cues, the biological cues coming from your body. Maybe even right now, the people who are watching us are being watched and analyzed. Are you angry about what you hear? Are you frightened? Are you bored? This is the kind of power that Stalin didn't have. You know, when Stalin gave a speech, everybody, of course, clapped their hands and smiled. Now, how do you know what they really think about Stalin? It's very difficult. You can't have a KGB agent following everybody all the time. Even if you do it, he's just watching your outside behavior. He doesn't really know what's happening in your mind. But in 10 years, the future Stalins of the 21st century, they could be watching the minds, the brains of all the population all the time. And also they will have the computing power to analyze all that.
Joined in studio by Maria Z in the next hour. We'll be covering all sorts of things. She, of course, co-hosted the DNC coverage last night. We will be covering the DNC tonight again. I will be on air probably starting around 7 and taking it all the way to the end. And, of course, why? Why would you ever watch the DNC without an overlay of InfoWars mocking what you're hearing? There's just no reason. So tune in tonight. I will be there. I imagine Chase will be on. Alex may stop by. Today is the big day, right? Tonight is the Kamala Harris speech. She finally will grace us with her presence. And I've been hearing some speculation. I hadn't even really noticed. My friend brought up to me how weird it is that Kamala was not at the convention when she was nominated. She wasn't there when Obama gave a speech. She wasn't there when Biden gave a speech. Maybe she was there when Biden gave a speech, but specifically with the Obamas, is there some contention behind the scenes, I wonder? And Chase brought this up on the first night when he was talking about, you know, Roger Stone predicting Michelle Obama would be the replacement for Joe Biden. In fact, that seems to have not come to fruition. And I noted, you know, well, plans change sometimes. And obviously both of the Obamas gave a speech. Both of the Obama men gave a speech on yesterday or the day before. And Kamala Harris was in a different town. She was in Minnesota. Convention's in Chicago. And I hadn't really noticed that. It's like, oh yeah, it's like either they're the same person and they can't ever be seen in, you know, two people can't be seen in the room at the same time, like Superman and Clark Kent, or maybe there's some contention there. Maybe there's a reason they don't want to be in the same place at the same time. I don't know. It's one of those things I hadn't really noticed, but then once it was pointed out, it was like, huh, yeah, every time the Obamas show up, Kamala goes to a different state. That's interesting. I wonder if these are the factions warring over the Democratic Party, the sort of Obama-led faction, and then the deep state, you know, Anthony Blinken-led faction. One wants their puppet, The other one's their puppet. And they're not exactly on the friendliest terms. Just speculation, but something to take a look at and notice. And again, I'm going to keep going on the DNC here a little bit because I actually want to save some of the non-DNC stories for Maria Z because I really always appreciate her outlook on the way these things are being used by the New World Order to create a one-world government, things like fluoride in the water, poison in the baby food. I got stories on that. I'm going to save for Maria Z and stick with the DNC for a minute now because like I was saying earlier, they are very focused on certain demographics. And one demographic they've identified is the low testosterone, beta male, middle-aged, balding cuck demographic that they really think is important. Let's go now to clip number two, where the Democrats are talking about this and explaining how, you know, they're so happy Tim Walz is there to show men that it can be fun being a subservient little cuckold. Let's watch.
But they are doing so in trying to put forward male figures, Tim Walz being one of them, Doug Emhoff last night, who can speak to men out there who might not be the sort of testosterone-laden, you know, gun-toting kind of guy who wants to listen to Hulk Hogan and the kind of players that came out at the RNC, or might want to listen to that, but also, in addition, understand that it's okay in 2024 to be a man comfortable in his own skin who supports a woman. And that's something that they really are trying to work on with male voters beyond the base.
Abby, we were talking.
We're working on getting male voters to be okay with the leader of your country being a woman and that it's good to be a subservient little cuck. I know you can hear she's kind of halting the way she talks because that's what's going through her mind. She's trying to filter out the honesty and frame it in a way that seems positive when in reality, yeah, they're literally like, no, we're putting out low T. Cucks is the only word for it. Low T, beta male, cuck soy boys. Trying to like co-opt the manly, you know, football jersey, camo hat wearing dudes, but co-opt that style, that look, that attitude into one of, I'm a man. I do everything my wife tells me. I'm so comfortable in my manhood that I'm fine playing second fiddle to an overbearing, shrieking harpy. Don't you want to be like me? Nope. Yeah, so childless cat ladies and balding soy boy, man-boobed, beta boomer, balding cucks. That's their. Those are their demographics. And, of course, the ethnic demographics that are just, you know, you'll vote for Democrats because you're told to behave, okay? This maybe is the most important video out of the entire DNC. It is the United States Secretary of Commerce being asked about the Bureau of Labor Statistics and not even knowing what that is. Let's go to clip number eight now.
When you hear that, do you potentially think that this new numbers could be a liability for this campaign?
No. When I hear that, first of all, I don't believe it because I've never heard Donald Trump say anything truthful.
It is, though, from the Bureau of Labor.
I'm not familiar with that.
I'm not familiar with that. This is like an Aleppo moment, right? What is Aleppo? What is the Bureau of Labor Statistics? It's the Bureau of Labor Statistics. What do you mean you don't know what that means? The name is self-explanatory, lady, and you're the Secretary of Commerce. Maybe you might want to know that. Labrador Skeptic at Says Simulation on X has a very brilliant thread sort of breaking this down, saying the ignorance of these two alpha women is extraordinary. This isn't minor. The Bureau of Labor Statistics is the source of inflation and employment data. Anyone remotely competent in the area knows the name and follows the releases, calling this a mask off moment. They go on. The journalist doesn't know the correct name. The high government official responsible for commerce isn't familiar with the agency or the biggest financial news that, you know, nearly a million jobs had to be revised away, revised out of existence. They're wind-up dolls selected on the basis of gender and social skills, a stunning degree of ignorance. I suspect most women would be quite forgiving of them, like, who does know what the BLS is? Come on now. This is a good indicator not just for the economy, but the military and everything else. The top people are gross incompetents selected for political and social skills. Their followers see nothing wrong with that. Meanwhile, the economy and military continue to lose ground relative to rivals. Living the decline of an empire is watching a comedy of errors while an indifferent and ignorant electorate goes, like, who cares, lol? And now, are there plenty of women that know exactly what the BLS is? Absolutely. But they're not on top because expertise is not what is selected for when it comes to current elites. Ruthless political skills and reliability while ticking the right racial and gender boxes is selected. This is the perfect example of what I frequently write about. Our current elites are not brilliant, but are political parasites who inherited a global empire built by people far better than them and are rapidly running it into the ground in their greed, ignorance, and hubris. Yeah, yeah, 100%. Exactly right. Could not be put any better. And it's pathetic and despicable. I put in a video, guys, I don't know if you pulled it in, Colorado governor, because this is exactly what he's talking about. If we can go to that video, this is Colorado Governor Jared Polis. Again, you know, talking about being a beta male cuck type guy and how this is a good thing. And this apparently gets him big cheers, not because he's competent, but because he is not competent, actually, strangely enough. Let's watch.
Look, as a Redditor, gamer, entrepreneur, and Swifty from the free state of Colorado, I'm excited by Kamala Harris's vision for protecting and expanding our personal freedom, internet freedom, and economic freedom. Democrats welcome weird, but we're not weirdos telling families who can and can't have kids who to marry or how to live our lives. These Project 2025 people, like Trump and Vance, are not just weird. They're dangerous. They want to take us backwards. But we aren't going back. Like ever, ever, ever.
Like ever. We're like never going back. We're like never going to have competent leadership ever again. Okay. So just like get used to that. All right. The Swifties and the Redditors agree. Trump's a big meanie and a weirdo. And we're going to keep having sex with our dogs. Okay.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime. But of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored? That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. And we're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.